So I told him that I would not leave him, but that he had a choice as to whether he should keep his anger and live by himself, or he could face the fact that he had an anger problem and he could live with us and he would have to take care of it.
Staigute! Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Today we'll hear from a gal who grew up on the north shore of Alaska's largest lake. She became a commercial fisherman at the age of 14, and then several years later made a decision that would change her life forever.
My name is Edna Shugak. I'm a Denaina Indian from the Lake Iliamna area. Iliamna Lake is the largest lake in Alaska. We live on the northeast part of the lake in a small community called Pedro Bay. My dad and mom were the first ones ever to live there. They came there and used it as a trapping place, and people just came and moved in around them until it became a community. And today it's a very modern community with running water and electricity, and everyone has vehicles and roads. I grew up there most of my life. My dad died when I was 5 years old. My brother was three. We were the two youngest ones of a family of eight children. I didn't know some of my siblings because they died before I was born. My dad was educated, and so he was commissioner, which means that was before this Alaska became a state, it was a territory. So he was like the law in the area. He married and buried people and took care of crimes that occurred around there. So I guess he was educated and he had a lot of influence in the area there. So he was one of the richer men also because of the jobs that he took and things that he did. When he died and I was five, he died of strokes, and he had a series of strokes. The last one killed him, but before that, he thought that he could find someone to heal him. So he spent all his money looking for a cure and going from doctor to doctor, leaving the village and living in towns and stuff. By the time he died, we were pretty much penniless. My mom was not a person that knew how to work. She had always lived in the woods. She was a woodswoman. She knew how to trap. She knew how to run a team of dogs. She knew how to shoot a spruce in through the eye. She knew how to fish and put up fish for the dogs. She knew all how to live in the bush, but she did not know how to live in the city or to make money. So growing up, my brother and I were pretty much really, really poor. And the things that my sisters and brothers took for granted when they grew up, we never knew any of that. Instead, my mom would look for jobs in the summertime in order to get enough oil to get through the winter and to get enough food. When I was 14, I had gone away a year, to high school. And when I came back, she said that, well, now that you're gone away to school, you know how to do things. So we're going to go down to Bristol Bay and we're going to go commercial fishing. And, you're going to be the one in charge of it, since you're 14 now. So we went down there with my uncle, her sister, and her husband on a fishing boat. It was a two-day journey. When we got there, she told me I was to go into the office and sign up for a fishing permit, for the licenses, for getting a fishing boat, the nets and all the material, all the grub, all the food, and the nets and everything. So I did. I went in there and I put my name on the dotted line, and I'd run out and ask my mom, well, how about this? And she'd say, yeah. And so I'd run back in there and say, that's what do I want, yeah. And she stood outside while I did this. And so at 14 years old, I signed up to go commercial fishing down in Bristol Bay, salmon fishing. And we did that for 4 years, every year I was in high school. And at the end of 4 years, I began to go to college in Anchorage. My mom died that year, and I went back home to Pedro Bay and didn't go to any more college. But I came back out to Anchorage, and I had a friend that had determined that I was going to marry him. And he was a Christian. And he decided that in order for me to marry him, that I had to be a Christian also. And we went to this guy's house, and he told me something that I remember clearly even now, and that he said that if I were to die, where would I go, heaven or hell? And I said, I was pretty sure I would go to hell. And he said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? And I knew my mom, that she didn't trust in the Lord, and she had just died, and it was very fresh in my mind. So I didn't want to go to heaven. But because of my mom dying and me pretty much being by myself, there was really no one there for me. I know that this man said that he loved me, but I didn't reciprocate. It was just someone to hang around with because I was by myself. And he said, you know, no matter what you do, God loves you because you are his creation. And he loves you. If you were the only person on earth, he would have still sent Jesus Christ to die for your sin. And because of that, I understood that God really loved me, that it was someone that loved me more than I could even fathom. And because of that, I accepted Christ. However, I never grew in the Lord, and didn't know anything about how to live as a Christian. I left Pedro Bay after a while and moved to Anchorage and attended school out here and did various jobs. And after my mom died, she was my only parent since my dad died when I was 5 years old. And I don't remember my dad hardly. When my mom died, I lost those years. My memory has failed me, and I think I had gone into a sort of shock and didn't understand what was going on around me. I know that I was different places and did certain things, but I never really could recall where I was or what I did, what years things happened or anything. When I was 27, 28 years old, I began to go to Anchorage Native New Life Fellowship here in Anchorage, and there I learned again anew how God loved me, and he had been pursuing me this whole time and wanting me to live for him. And I rededicated my life to him at that time, and really and truly began to live for the Lord. I met my husband there at those meetings, and we were married in 1978. We lived in a little log cabin when Don and I were first married, the log cabin that I grew up in and that my dad had built for the family, because when my mom died, she left me and my brother the land. So we lived in a log cabin. It was lined with, so the wind didn't really blow through, but it was not a very warm place. We had to carry water from the lake in order to have water. And on our honeymoon, when Don and I were married, we went down there for our honeymoon, and Don had to chop through the ice, 4 feet of ice, in order to get to the water, in order to carry water. And then it turned out that he made the water hole in the wrong place, and he hit dry. It was dry right there. So then he had to work another whole day in order to chop through another 4 feet of ice in order to reach water, and we reached water then. We had a little tiny stove that burned the wood really fast and didn't throw much heat, and you had to get up every 2 hours in order to put wood in there when it was like 20 and 30 below at night. That was the way I grew up, and I lived most of my life like that till maybe 5 or 10 years after we got married. Then we got a house with running water and electricity. We lived in various places in Alaska, and he became a teacher and a preacher and then an oil field worker, and we lived in all the different places according to where his job led him. We had 2 children, and as I got older and began to know Don a little better, I understood that he had an anger problem. We lived for many years not understanding really what it was about. He He didn't treat me very well at times. He would get angry at different things that I did, always accusing me of things being my fault and of trying to do things my way, not respecting him. He was jealous of anyone that came into our home or that I talked to if it was a man. He accused me of different things throughout the years, and because he was a preacher, I felt like I could not let anyone know that the way Don treated me, and so we lived like that for many years. He was not kind to the children a lot of times. He spoke to them in ways that I thought was where they felt like they were worth nothing. And there came a time in our lives where after like 28 years of being married, our children were just out of high school, that I felt like I could not handle him being so cruel to his son that he could not even do well in school or felt like he could do nothing, that he was worthless. So I prayed about this and asked the Lord what I should do. I spent many sleepless nights wondering and praying about what I should do. And one night I just came to the conclusion that even if I were a perfect woman and I would do everything right and Don could find no fault in me, he would still find that I was doing something wrong. So from that conclusion, I decided that this problem was not mine, that it was Don's, that he had a problem with anger and he could not control himself. There was a lot of times when he went into a rage and he did not even remember things that he did or things that he said. And a lot of times it was really cruel and he did things that as a Christian man that he shouldn't have done. So I told him that I would not leave him, but that he had a choice as to whether he should keep his anger and live by himself, or he could face the fact that he had an anger problem and he could live with us and he would have to take care of it.
Edna's story reminds us that even though you are trusting in Jesus, life can still be filled with hardship. Maybe you're going through a dark valley right now. If you belong to God, remember His promises and look to Him for the wisdom and strength you need. We read in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. My friend, don't stray from the Lord. He loves you and will help you through. And if you don't know Him, why don't you turn to Him now? If you'd like to know more, visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. That's 877-766-4648. If you're on Facebook, you can connect with us at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there's more to Edna's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.